Morning, church. Today I would like to start off with a verse from 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we got the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And later on, I'll tell you how to overcome these lusts. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden for all three of these lusts. Eve noticed that the fruit was good for food, the lust of the flesh. She also saw it was good, it was enticing to her. The lust of the eyes, and the fruit was desirable to her. She desired it, she wanted it, pride of life. For my first point, the lust of the flesh, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. He tells you not to run with those who lust after the flesh, and if he tells you not to, don't do it. 2 Peter 2:10, and especially to those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. First off, what's a dignitary? A dignitary is a person considered to be important because of high rank or office. The Bible, God expects us to be respectful and kind to those who are high rank and not disrespectful and rude. For my second point, lust of the eyes. But in Matthew 5, 28 and 29, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. It's pretty serious to pluck out your eye for looking at a woman. If I had to look at a woman and pluck out, if I plucked out my eye for looking at a woman, I don't think I'd ever want to look at another woman ever again. In Proverbs 6:25, God says, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. God tells you not to, so if he says not to, just don't do it, basic as that. And my third point, pride of life. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8 through 12, it says, the Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with the cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. God will destroy Israel for their arrogance and pride of life. Some people not see it as a big deal for somebody to be arrogant, but to God, it's serious enough to destroy an entire country. Now, how do we overcome these lusts? In Genesis 39, when Joseph and Potiphar's wife, he was tempted to sleep with her. But instead of doing so, he ran. And sometimes the best thing is to do is just run. Just run from sin and temptations. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Satan commanded or tempted him, saying, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days without any food. I can't even go 5 minutes without food. So some bread would sound pretty good. But Jesus turned around and used scripture against him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And again, Satan tempted him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Again, Jesus returned with scripture, saying, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And a third time, Satan tempted him, he bent up on a mountaintop, showing him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And the third time, Jesus went back with scripture, said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." All three times, Jesus went with scripture to back himself up. So when in doubt, go to the Bible. It will never fail you. In James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires have conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Lust and desire lead to sin, and sin leads to death. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life all lead to death. So if we can overcome these lusts and stay faithful to God, we may be able to live eternally with God in heaven.